Facebook's head of messaging used the Facebook Notes tool to spread a message of hope today. Hope that everyone in the world would give up their old-fashioned SMS messaging and take all their conversations to Facebook Messenger instead. The company now has 800 million users on Messenger alone. They introduced a slew of new features this year, but I am not ready to give up on the simplicity of just the old-fashioned text messaging. Are you guys ready for that?
No. Yeah, not at all.
Do you use Facebook Messenger?
I use it a lot, and I really hate using it, but there's so many people that I know that do use it. But it, you know, just like both Messenger and Google Hangouts, when people message me in them, I don't get the notifications as quick as I need to, and the app doesn't load as fast as I'd like. I mean, the fastest, easiest, best performing thing is text messages. It's MMS and it's SMS, and it's not this proprietary stuff. So, I mean, I'm not ready to take that leap and go full Facebook, but of course Facebook wants you to do that. I mean, you know, I'm not surprised by that at all.
Yeah, that's their business.
Yeah, I mean, I still love the simplicity of the text message, because that's what Facebook is saying. Like, oh, you can use GIFs and you can send money and you can do all these things. And I just like the simplicity of it. And I mean, I think they're just planning more. There was another story we didn't get to yesterday because we had too many stories. But sources say that Facebook is allowing some developers access to the chat SDK. They're going to build bots into Messenger for shopping and booking and travel and more. I mean, basically, they want all the services moved away from apps and into Facebook, because then they win the war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this whole chatbot thing is getting really fascinating, and it was really starting to kind of seem like 2016, you know, there's going to be a couple of recurring themes all the way through. Seems like, you know, chatbots is near the top of that list as just kind of an effort that we're going to see a lot more of. And it's an interesting kind of turn away from something that we've been obsessed with, at least in mobile, for the last however many years, which are apps. And now it's like services inside an app that, you know, mm-hmm. maybe that doesn't belong to the business that's providing that service, but it's still, you know, there's incentive enough apparently to do that, and also cross platform, like possibly over, you know, across multiple different chat clients, having the single service that hits them all. Yeah, it's really interesting. I jury's still out on whether I'm going to get used to using them in the way that they're being designed, but you know, there's a whole generation that's growing up with this stuff right now, and that's not going to seem weird to them.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, in Asia, like WeChat and different mm-hmm. apps are very popular in this way. People are using Android phones, but they go into that one messaging app, and then they're sending money, they're, you know, looking for restaurants, they're playing games, they're doing all these different things. And just like what you said, it's kind of like a pendulum swing. You know, for a while, Facebook was pushing breaking all of its apps into separate things. Like, do you guys remember when Messenger was a part of Facebook?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so now they're trying to break all those things out. Now they're trying to slowly bring those things back. And what it kind of reminds me of is what they did when they first launched their whole timeline concept, back in 2012, 2011. And they wanted to have links into, like, Netflix and, you know, when you're listening to this song in Spotify, it'll show up on your timeline, and then your friends will know you're listening to, and you can take part. And none of that ever really took off. They also tried to have a shopping section inside of Facebook to kind of compete with Amazon to a certain extent. That didn't really take off. I know they were selling like Tide detergent for a while and stuff like that. This is kind of following what is popular in Asia with a few apps, and it's also building on this success. Now you have 800 million people using Messenger. Why not try and leverage that user base when you have all these people's attention? It's a gamble, but if Facebook can pull it off, you know, they might be able to look a little smart and get ahead of the curve before those apps that are popular in Asia maybe come over here into the United States and catch on and do the same thing. But I mean, me personally, it's just another layer. It's like, what's the difference of going into one app and seeing a bunch of icons versus just looking at my home screen and seeing the icons I want?
Yeah.
Do you think they're aiming at people whose only computer is a smartphone?
No question. I mean, just like you said, there are a lot of folks who are growing up and this doesn't seem weird to them. But then you also look at emerging markets, and people are mobile first, not because, you know, they're out in front of some Silicon Valley trend. They're mobile first because they have to be, because they don't have a laptop at their disposal or a desktop or whatever. This is the way that they live and work. And this is kind of a reflection of that to a certain extent, but it's also a way for Facebook to try and get this power and lure in developers. I mean, you know, they were trying to have that Facebook Home layer over the top of Android. And there's been talk of them, you know, of course, you know, making their own mobile operating system. Those rumors have kind of died down over the last few years, but you know, they've experimented with the Facebook One phone and different things like that. They want to be as big and as powerful as Google and Apple and Microsoft. And if they're going to stick around for a long, long, long time, they need to be the center of your life in the way that those other companies are. And this makes sense as a way for them to do that, if they can pull it off. But they need to be kind of exploring that way to be the backbone of your digital existence. And this is a very smart way to do it. I mean, even if it doesn't work out, they need to take this risk and try and make it happen.
One thing that Facebook does, they definitely try things and then kill them. You know what I mean? Like, if it doesn't work out, they'll kill it. So they aren't afraid to do that. And they have such a, you know, as a prior host of this very show, Mike Elgin, has said many times, you know, they have a monopoly on people. And that's a perfect way to put it. And that's why the three of us, I think, as far as I can tell, begrudgingly use, to a certain degree, Messenger and Facebook, because everybody's there. It's kind of the what you have to do, because that's what other people are doing, you know?
No question. Facebook is the social networking app. It's the website. It's the everything digital that I least enjoy using the most, and that I use probably the most because I have to. It's a part of my job, and it's where all of my friends and family are. And I do it, and every day I grit my teeth and I do it.